This morning I'd like to talk about two related ideas, which are seeing and spiritual formation. And as a part of the sermon and at the end, we'll talk a little bit about this challenge. Shall we pray? Lord, might we have the Spirit to simply hear your word and to make our lives be about you and not about us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The video talked about one part of the text. I want to expand on it. We hear about the sheep that heard the challenge and responded, and the goats who did not. I want to talk about both. In one sense, a significant aspect of this text has to do with seeing. And the text pivots on surprise. Both the sheep on the right and the goats on the left are surprised. Lord, when did we see you? Lord, when didn't we see you? And both groups find themselves in the same circumstances. They are surprised to be told they failed to recognize the Son of Man. Neither the sheep nor the goats knew what they were seeing. This surprise is grounded in the fact that neither the sheep nor the goats expected Jesus to be found where he was. This is a quote I'll return to an expanded version in just a bit, but the way one pastor put it is, they were surprised by where Jesus hangs out. When did we see you? They hadn't expected to see him where he was. Let's take a look at the text. It is told in the classic, effective Jesus fashion. There's a setup for the surprise, and the setup comes as the parable, and in a sense, this is a parable. The parable starts with a future picture of the Son of Man in all of his glory. So Jesus projects onto the screen of their imagination, we can say projects onto the screen of our imagination, the Son of Man in all his glory, surrounded by angels who are around the throne in heavenly glory. And as that picture comes up in the imagination, the inclination is to say, yes, that sounds like the Son of Man who is to be expected. That is what I would expect. Kingly, glorious, up there, and out there. It's future, so it's not yet here. It is yet to come. So the Son of Man, as we might be expecting the Son of Man to be in his glory, will appear thus someday, but not today. And not that way. And I want to be clear, I am not disagreeing with the picture of what is commonly known as the second coming, what is yet to happen. But I dare say the modern day spiritual quest of many has some aspects of this in mind. I think it's common to the spiritual condition of Christians, and it's a proper one, to have a longing for Jesus someday coming in the clouds with majesty and pageantry and awe and light. But the surprise of this text is that it exposes how limited that vision is. It is terribly incomplete. If believers and followers of Jesus want to encounter the Son of Man, it is incomplete to place that only in the future, up there, out there. If it is understood that the only way that the longing of our hearts to see Jesus, the only way that this can be realized, is in that up there and out there and future way, it does not account for seeing Jesus in the present and in what we would call the real world. This then would be the complete quote where I said, I'm quoting another pastor, what he wrote about Matthew 25. He said, we are invited to meet God, not in some distant eternal life or otherworldly reality, but here and now in the concrete and real need of our neighbors. That's where we meet God. That's where Jesus is hanging out. And that was where both sheep and goats failed to see. When did we see you? And Jesus explained, if you really want to meet Jesus, then hear these words again. As you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. I hope we read this carefully. We are face to face with the profound mystery here of the incarnation. And here is why I say with that mystery, we read it carefully. The text does not say, inasmuch you did it for me. You did it on my behalf. You acted as my servants. That's not what the text says. It says, inasmuch as you did this to the least of these, you did it to me. You did it to me. Surprise was always the order of the day with Jesus. Jesus didn't arrive to reign over humanity in Rome or in Athens or in any major cities of the world. He came in a manger in Nazareth. It was later asked, can anything good come from Nazareth? Surprise! God didn't come to conquer the world with military or political might. Surprise! Jesus conquered the world in the scandal and shame and pain of the cross. And those clues then should have us alert. We know of those stories. It should be the case that the Matthew 25 text doesn't surprise us, but sometimes there's a kind of cataract, a spiritual cataract, so that we see only blurry, with blurry vision. We can't see what is in plain sight from the beginning of the story of Jesus. God continues to come where we least expect God to be. In the plight of the homeless, on the side of the poor, in the face of the needy, and in the company of the imprisoned. That's where Jesus is hanging out. And to take this literally, this is our chance, and in those places is our chance to do something to Jesus. So why do I say this connects to spiritual formation? Well, think of it in this language. I would say the quest of those that are interested in spiritual formation, in having our inner spirit formed and changed, being made into the likeness of Jesus, we desire to come closer to Jesus. And here we're presented with a way of coming closer to Jesus. And this language continued to feel strange to me, this preposition to. We are invited to do something to him, and all I could do was to just frame this as a little vignette in my mind, a little drama in my mind. Imagine that you had a chance to offer your love to Jesus. And remember, here's the mystery. Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine. Imagine having the chance to offer Jesus food when he's hungry, and water when he's thirsty, and shelter and community. Take that one step further, imagining that you do that to Jesus and he says, thank you. Thank you. What a picture of heart-to-heart intimacy with our Lord. I can't imagine walking away from such an encounter unchanged. I think my heart would be changed. And if my heart is changed, then that's spiritual formation. A new spirit is formed within me. And this isn't just an imaginary kind of video that I'm concocting. It is what the text says. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Does this align with our experience? I would say yes. How many times do we not have our youth return from a swap service trip, or adults return from doing MCC work or Mennonite disaster service work? And almost without exception, the statement is this: I got more from this than I gave. It changed me. There was something spiritual, there was something holy, there was something mysterious that happened. When I, like it says in Philippians, made myself into a servant, just as Jesus made himself nothing, when I served others, somehow there was an interaction with the Holy One. I received a blessing through the act of giving. Jesus became more real to me. So I think it is a mistake to understand this parable as a kind of guilt-inducing legalism, or it's misguided. If one is hearing this as, well, I'd better feed the hungry and clothe the naked or I'll be in trouble, that was the old news that the Pharisees had promoted, a kind of legalism. Instead, this parable tells us in dramatic fashion where Jesus hangs out. And the net effect of it is, why don't you go and meet him? And this matters if we seek to be fully living in the kingdom of God, now and into eternity. Why don't you go and meet Jesus? And then blessings abound and God rejoices. As the poor are ministered to and Jesus is found, and shalom increases on this earth, and the kingdom of God comes yet closer on earth as it is in heaven. Which brings me to this spiritual exercise we're invited to participate in, which is called the Matthew 25 Challenge. And it is a spiritual exercise. Because the dimness of sight and the dullness of spirit, and at times the hardness of heart, even among Jesus' followers, is always a reality of living in the reality of our humanity. We need reminders. We need sight correction. We need new lenses. We need to hear stories. We need to understand parables that cause us to have better eyes to see. And so World Vision has very helpfully thought of a way that might cause us to better see the reality, to hear the parable, and to recognize here and now, not just someday out there, where Jesus is hanging out. The invitation is to engage in a physical sensory way, at least in a tiny way, the realities of the poor and the needy and the imprisoned. And I think of this as a spiritual exercise which suggestively and annoyingly, I don't want to sleep on the floor, and invitingly lights the pathway to the place where Jesus is. I want to repeat that. It suggestively and invitingly lights the pathway to where the place where Jesus is and where God's love is needed in a concrete way. Caleb, this is your moment. So the card says, take the Matthew 25 challenge, experience God's word in community through a week-long daily text challenge. That's the back of this. You can, if you like paper and aren't worried about texting, you can simply see what might be the activity for each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we will come back then on Sunday. But if you're the kind of person that likes technology and wants a reminder, if you show the next thing, this is going to be one of the very few times in a church service here at the Mennonite Church of Normal, I'll tell you, pull out your phone if you would like, or do this later. And there are the instructions. You will text M25 to 44888. and you are in. And that should mean that tomorrow, I think several times, Chris, is that right? That you will get a text that is reminding you of this. And you may not take the challenge. I don't want this to be understood as its own kind of legalism where good people take it and bad people don't. Furthermore, we will talk next week about the many ways in which we have already accepted this challenge. This is not either or, as if we have been utterly blind and now for the first time are seeing this. Next week, we will illuminate and celebrate real ways that we have been and can continue to be responsive in the lives of real people. The hymn says this, Lord, we want to be a Christian in our hearts. We want to meet Jesus. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want Jesus in our lives, and we want to follow Jesus where He directs us. We want to bring the good news to people in every way. And good news for those that are poor and hungry and thirsty and lacking community is that God is hanging out there. So next week, we will come back and we will consider how we can be newsmakers, good newsmakers in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.